We were talking, and Philip, we were talking about the 74-year-old boy and what's going on with his family, and I understand there's some things you can't say, but I'll let you pick up on that thought again.
Well, the thing is that the boy is still alive, and he's very unapproachable. We've called him several times, and he hangs his phone up, and we've actually had a quick chat with him. Of course, you know, his concept is he doesn't remember and all that, but the point is we have talked to, I use the word siblings just completely around, as well as his friends in university and school, so they have their take on it too. So we've actually, I believe, you know, that we've actually gone the most in-depth out of anybody's dared to go even, because, I mean, you're talking about the Ouija board for a start. Everybody has this big hang-up about a Ouija board. And
yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, we have a 1949 Ouija board we actually got down the street from the house. Now, I don't think it's the same one, but it's the same year.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I'm not saying I believe in it or not believe in it, but we didn't put it on the airplane on the way back to L.A.
I don't blame you.
You say we FedExed it, but the thing is, one thing I think it's really important to say in this whole thing is that, and we do go a little bit in depth. We touched the movie a little bit, but we feel that you've already seen all about the stuff that was supposed to happen on the set of movies, which is truly a lie. Okay, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. What happened on the sets of movies, that was all propaganda. What we do is not propaganda, and I'll tell you, what is real, though, is the fact that when the Exorcist movie came out, there was over 10,000 more exorcisms a year. And there's only been two exorcisms really done before the 1925 one, which was the first. There was only The Possession of Wasika Wonder, which we actually touched in our first film about possession, called The Possessed. William Blatty actually mentions that in his book. It was the inspiration for the exorcism, as well as the 1925 exorcism. And, of course, in 1949 was the rest of it that actually made out The Exorcist. But what is true for a fact, ever since The Exorcist movie came out, everybody's screaming, possessed.
Yes.
And what I think that's really horrible is there's a lot of children that have, you know, obviously teenage syndrome, and mm-hmm. they go through their dark sides, cutting themselves, devil worshiping, all this, and they're obviously the serious Bible-belting people, scream possession. And some of them go completely off the deep end and kill their children because of the movie The Exorcist.
Oh,
because that is linked to what they see and all what they know. And they actually turn the children's heads around like 360. And then we actually cover one of those stories that happened to about a little girl that got their head twisted around because her parents, their answer to the police was, well, we saw The Exorcist.
Unbelievable.
That is true. That's not propaganda.
Yeah, and not shifting too much off what Chris was saying from the subject of the boy or the diary, it really does kind of sum up where the real devil is and where the real evil is in people who have weak will in the first place, people who have lost their senses, who have that maybe alcoholics that are weak or very susceptible to thought suggestion and negative energy without getting too spiritual.
Well, do you remember what they
on filled, the subject? That's evil.
Do you remember what happened with the demonologist of the Vatican? I asked him, do you believe in Ouija boards? He said, absolutely no. And I said, okay, then how do you feel you get possessed? And he says, through alcohol and smoking. Of course, I said, well, I'm going to go outside now and get possessed. I smoke.
I think
the
point is what he explained was made sense. The devil's main job, or darkness, or whatever you want to call it, is to stop you from doing. Everybody's born to do something good, to deliver something that's going to help. And his main, the dark side devil's main goal is to stop you from meeting your goal. So he will addict you to alcohol, he'll make you smoke so you die sooner, or he'll cause serious turmoil in your life so you don't deliver what you're supposed to do. And that made sense to me.
Yeah,
you see?
Without going into giving away the story, because we want people to see the show and be blown away in the full presentation, the haunted boy had quite a career ahead of him, something to do that on a global scale.
If he had fallen
into the power of the devil, so to speak, it would have completely changed what had happened. He was already had his destiny planned that would do, he would create something that would change the world. And I'll leave you to watch the show find all about that. But that's the whole, another intricate detail of this story. That's not Hollywood. That's not over the top. These are real things that are in diaries, that are written and documented, cross-checked. And, you know, we're not out to say, believe this, this is true. Like with our paranormal shows, believe in ghosts, don't believe in ghosts. This is what we found out. We're documentarians. We're not ghost hunters. You know, we're not Geraldo Rivero, you know. We're just documentarians. Michael Moore, a little less radical, but I respect him for digging up the dirt. You know, this is what it happened. So you can Google it after you watch the show and find, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing about it is it brings all this to the light, and then it's up to the viewer to take it in and get something from it, and then they can make the decision.
Hasn't the Vatican increased the amount of priests that they're training for exorcisms?
Well, did you? Everybody knows about that latest one, right? The way, was it, I don't know his name. I'm not that good with names on that. Was it the guy who said there's been over 2,000 exorcisms and shards of steel and glass came out of people? Did you read that thing? He did over 2,000 exorcisms.
Yeah, I did.
And the devil's living in the Vatican, he said.
No, the church today will send you to a psychiatrist before they do an exorcism. The exorcism is a very last straw. And I just can say this. If you believe in God, you've got to believe in the devil. And if you feel you're possessed, you usually believe in God and the devil. So whether you really truly are possessed, an exorcism will help you because you believe that's the only thing that will help you, whether you truly are or you're just mentally deranged.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The church today, and we have talked to a lot of them, is really down-look exorcisms today. They prefer you to go see a doctor and go through all those things. And at the last step, if you truly have faith that the only thing that will save you is the exorcism. Obviously, there's signs that, you know, completely say, hey, this person's possessed, supernatural strength, foreign language they've never known, seeing the future, you know, doing stuff that nobody can do, that even when they're mentally, you know, not together. And then, that, of course, that's when you say, hey, we've got to bring in, like, for instance, this is a true story. They put the boy in an asylum for evaluation before he was in a lecture, brothers. And he was put in there for being, basically, being epileptic, because he was on the bed doing the jig, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy says, well, yeah, if you want to call it epilepsy, but I've never seen someone levitate from epilepsy.